Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, but I'm party.
And Jake Latondras.
And bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. And of course, being Thursday, even though it's Thanksgiving, joining me on the other end of the line, Ramsey Russell. Oh, Double R. Double R, you've had an interesting last few days, to say the least.
Oh, it's been interesting, Rocky. It sure has been. We've duck season started in northeast Louisiana and Arkansas, and we spent a few days over there hunting and chasing ducks and just doing what we do. And it has been interesting, to say the least. I believe, you know, and it wasn't just me. You know, I was with Mike Morgan and Josh Raggio and Quack Rack and everybody, just a lot of folks, but knew a lot of people. Ed Wall, you know, so man, and Josh Criswell, and we're all texting and talking to people, talking to groups all over the state of Arkansas. And man, it just, reports last week when that big cold snap hit were just astronomical. And in reality, after it warmed up a little bit, the weather changed a little bit, was real hit or miss, like a big old grandfather clock pendulum swinging. To the right, you killed them. To the left, you didn't. And it was a little hit or miss. Really was. It was a struggle. There were ducks where we were. There were ducks, but they weren't flying. They were sitting. And the birds that were coming in were hitting those ducks that were sitting. And they were somewhere you couldn't make them fly. And they were just there. But we had a great time. Now, I got to tell you, we talk a lot about, it's not about killing ducks. We all know, hey, we're not out there watching sunrise. We want to shoot ducks. But boy, I tell you what, with the right group of folks in the blinds, you know, we had such a great time. Josh Raggio, you know, I've got shotgun shells, toilet paper, a couple of calls, you know, odds and ends in my bag. He broke out a stove. He broke out a stove, Rocky, and started frying honey buns in the blind. Had a coffee thermos with some of his custom coffee. You know, was there some stories told, stories that I'd never heard, stories that I needed to hear. And we just laughed and had a good time in the long stretches between volleys. And we did kill ducks, just not limits. And then I went down, hunted there 3 days, had a great time. It rained Monday, and we really got into some ducks. That made the ducks fly. Right before the rain and during the light portion of the rain, the ducks flew. And we had a good time. Had a real good time. I think Mojo got a good episode out of that.
Can I say this? Only get the sappy emotional stuff out of the way. Man, I'm gonna tell you something. Edward Wall, phenomenal photographer. And for him to capture that moment with you and Duncan and Forrest, God, what a photograph. Man, I just sat there and looked at that. I just sat there and looked at that photo.
Look, you know, Ed is a good guy. Now, see, I grew up, I'm from the Delta, and Delta folks are different. You know that. And about junior high school, we moved down to Hinds County. And that's where I went to middle school and high school. A couple years later, I went to Mississippi State. And, you know, I fell in with Raggio and Ed Wall. And they were born and raised in Hinds County. And we just clicked immediately. Ed's a heck of a fine fella. Yeah, y'all all know he runs around some real duck killers, so he's a duck killer too. I did not know this, but he's also a world-class golfer. And he and Garrett Walker were talking about golf and invited me to come. I said, yeah, if I can get down range and shoot them balls with a shotgun, I'm all in. That's about as close to shooting golf or playing golf I want to get. But
it's a scratch golfer.
They're good golfers. Dude, he's a good golfer. And we got but he was there. And what was so vital to that weekend, I said it before, you know, your kids go to college, they're home in 2 weeks with hungry bellies and dirty clothes. And Duncan went to Marine Camp Basics, graduated, did good. We're proud to see him. Man, look, that boy's back is as straight as a 2x4. His demeanor is so different. He's the same Duncan he's always been, but he's different in a really good way. And he really wanted to go duck hunting. It's you know, he's been going to camp with his dad and brother since he was out of diapers. And we had that one day. One day we went. And we went over Friday night, Saturday evening. Of course, I had to take him back to Monroe, Louisiana. We met Anita. She took him home. He had some packing to do, and then he was off. He was gone. And reported to North Carolina Brighton early for his first 29 days of training. And in about 30 days, he'll ship off to Oklahoma. And he told me, you know, I might get off a few days, Dad. I might not. It just all depends. He don't know. We don't know. But so you cherish those moments. Man, look, you make every minute count. For Ed to be on hand, we got Ed to come over and film the hunt. Getting Ed to go on a duck hunt is lickety-split great, but he's a good photographer. He's the kind of photographer because he duck hunts. He anticipates those moments happening. He's somewhere invisible capturing it from the backgrounds. He's always there lurking. But because he's a duck hunter, he knows when those moments are going to happen. And he was there. And it was wonderful to have that picture. I was very, very pleased I got that. Josh showed up, brought his mobile shop, and we filmed it. He sold some calls to different people, you know, and that was just, it's just amazing to see him make those calls in person every time. It's just, I've seen it several times now, and it's always just amazing to see him turn a little short block of wood into something that beautiful and functional. And everybody there just had to have one, so they got one. But Duncan's gone, and talked to Dale Bordland a few weeks ago. Dale said, you know, y'all come down and hunt. Duncan wasn't here, but Forrest was, and he and I went down and hunted with Dale Bordland this morning, and that was just, you know how a lot of people on the internet are not who they seem to be on the internet? I'm talking about, look, Dale Bordland is exactly like he appeared to be on the internet. He don't change one bit. Dale is true. He's a straight arrow, and it was so awesome. I just fawned over those beautiful homemade decoys of his and his dug-ass hand-built canoes and P-Rows. It's amazing how he crafts those things completely by hand. No power tools involved the old way. Everything's the old way. And it was really, really nice to meet his family and hunt with him, stay at his camp. We went out this morning, stuck it out, killed some ducks, mallards and gadwalls, blue wings, green wings, shot a few ringnecks, a couple. And unfortunately, the shovelers didn't cooperate because Forrest and I were going to shoot those two, no doubt. And they didn't cooperate too good. But we had a great time. So it's you know, now I'm back at Willow Break, waiting on family to get here. And we celebrate Thanksgiving over here with some other friends and families. And then we'll scout a few ducks tomorrow, and hopefully we've got some. Right now, it seems to me, if I had to guess, just a hit and miss of it all, the way these ducks are, and some of the reports I'm hearing of where some ducks are concentrated, I believe that Bill Cooks and yourself were exactly correct. It happens every time that river hits flood stage. I believe the bulk of waterfowl right now are stuck between those levees. That's what I think. I think a lot of them are off in that thatcher area. That's what I believe. And, you know, we got ducks, a few ducks here and there. You know, some people are killing ducks, but nobody that I've talked to is just hammering. Nobody's just hammering ducks. And there seem to be quite a few ducks down, but they're nowhere in great concentration for more than a day. So it's going to be what it's going to be. I'm glad to be here. That's for sure.
All right. We've got to jump into this. The teaser to the Life Short Get Ducks webisodic series came out today. And I know, man, that thing is so good. You have to be so pleased with the way just the teaser even turned out.
I'm very pleased with it. I'm very pleased to have met Jake and to have talked to him, and through our conversations he seemed to get kind of what I wanted to accomplish. And when I started seeing the productions he was sending me along the way, I realized he did kind of get what I was going for. The interesting thing about that teaser is this Australia trip kind of came together very quickly. And I had just started talking and kind of met, quote unquote, Jake. I didn't physically meet him and shake his hand and get to know him as a photographer until he showed up in Australia. And I think he was kind of surprised after we kind of cut a deal and said, we're going to do this. I said, great. I'll send you a ticket to Australia. We're leaving in 5 weeks. I think he was surprised to hear that. And if you watch that teaser, it's a little bit of a repeat of what we talked about in Life Short Get Ducks podcast back this summer, back in April, I believe it was. And that this webisodic series we're working on is heartfelt. It's something I envision. It's my story. It's my version of waterfowling that I want to be true. I want to be true to self, true to brand. I want to be honest. I want to be unscripted. I'm an unscripted guy. I try to read from a script, terrible. I can only feel it, think it, and say it, and communicate it. That's why I don't play poker. I don't have a poker face. I can't do that kind of stuff. And we were down in Australia. I've said it before. I forget birthdays. I forget anniversaries. I forget dates. I remember, of course, the 4th of July, Declaration of Independence, but a lot of other dates I learned along the way, they don't stick, but I remember May 17th. I can't forget it. I try to. I can't. And we were down in Australia having a wonderful time, wonderful, wonderful time. I'd seen some of the clips that Jake was getting. I'd seen the way he processed and was really digging it. Ryan and I were having a great time. We were with some great folks. We did a podcast while we were down there. You kind of got the drift. And on the last day, we went to another place, had a bunch of hardheads. It was just a magical hunt. It was beautiful. It was a species I really wanted to get my hands on this trip. It's the creme de la creme trophy for those guys. They love to eat them. They love to hunt them. They decoy well. Think of them like a funny-looking sculp. That's kind of what they are. They're a diver. They're like a poacher. But it was wonderful, wonderful hunting. And after we got done, we did a little B-roll. We did some species stuff to kind of wrap up the Australia episode, which is going to be an exploration, showing the world Australia duck hunting in different locations with different people, the similarities and the differences. As we were done, Jake kind of got done. He said, Ramsey, I'm done. I've gotten everything done. I'm fixing the box up. Is there anything at all we need to film before I pack up? I said, hang on a second. And I thought about it. I said, yeah, Jake, I just want to do a little interview. He said, about what? I said, I don't know yet. He said, okay. So he got his camera all situated on the tripod, and we hung the ducks up in a tree, and I leaned. He said, okay, lean up against it. I'm going to crop in. And I started telling that story. And I don't think I ever would have told that story had I not first done the podcast and it been letting that genie out of the bottle and it being kind of a relief. The response was slightly overwhelming. And if we hadn't yet told a story then, Rocky, on your podcast, it was coming. We had certainly talked about it and I'd been preparing for it. But I told this story. The first time I told it, I choked up. Glenn teared up, walked away. Jake teared up, wiped his eyes, and yelled, cut. Stop. So we all took a deep breath. He said, all right, Randy, one more take. Just tell it. We filmed it. It felt good because on that day, standing there, leaned up against that tree with, after a wonderful hunt, got more hard heads towards my limit than my host said ever happens, ever. You live your whole lifetime in Australia and not shoot that many hard heads, plus a pink-eared duck. On that day, 36 years prior, I got hurt. I knew where I was, and I knew where I was going. And nobody would have guessed that nearly four decades later, I'd be sitting waist-deep in a marsh in Australia doing what I'm doing. It was important to me to tell that story. And I'm getting back on track with this webisodic series, this story is what I think of it as, a progressive story of duck season, somewhere. What was important to me is same as we named the podcast, we wanted to name it Life Short, Get Ducks. That's not our motto. Our company motto is duck season somewhere, which it is. But Life Short, Get Ducks. Terry Dimon, many years ago, when I first met him, we were down in Argentina. He said, getducks.com. Ramsey, where'd you come up with a name like that? I said, Life Short, Get Ducks, Terry. He said, yeah, it sounds great, but not really. Where'd you come up with it? I said, that's really where I come up with it. And we wanted to name it that, and we just felt like after we had done that, and Jake got back home and saw it, he called up and says, you know, Ramsey, I want to do this as a trailer. I want to lead in your whole series. I want to kick it off with this testimonial because it defines the series. Now, for anybody listening that's watched or as you're watching this trailer, understand that we're going to photo document unscripted, raw, personal duck hunting worldwide. Nobody's ever done it. Nobody's ever gone to six continents, to some of the deep in the grass, off the trail, far flung places that we go to, Mongolia, Azerbaijan, Pakistan in a couple of years, back to Australia, because Australia's a big country, back to Argentina, because Argentina's a very big country. We're going to tell some truths in duck hunting. Maybe some painful truths, but the truth. I think we hunters owe it to ourselves and to the public to own what we do. And a lot of the stories you see out here today, they really don't talk about the species, the myriad of species here in North America, let alone around the world, the habitats, the wetlands, the people, the cultures. It's not that broad. And showing full scale, the full breadth of duck hunting from Pakistan with feudal lords to Azerbaijan, to Argentina, to Wyoming and Nebraska, Mississippi, the whole world. Really, I think people will expect to see a lot of differences. There will be. I think what's going to surprise them is the big similarities. How I can be in a blind in Azerbaijan with a dirt poor, but very, very sincere and extremely capable duck guide that Google Translate will only let me talk to him in one or two words. And yet how that's okay. We're in a blind together. He's in the role of a guide. I'm in the role of a hunter. But we're a team. There's so much similarity in his hospitality and how he sets up for ducks and just the whole nine yards. It's a really interesting story that I think everybody will appreciate seeing. And I hope. Remember back in the 70s, John Denver was in a movie and a TV show with George Burns called Oh God. And he had to come up with a slogan to get people, you know, religious. And his slogan was Thank God. Worked. And what I've seen in social media by traveling, not just throughout America shooting mallards and snow geese and Canada geese and whatever have you. But the whole scale of you know, when it's like when we came back last year and we're posting pictures of red-crested poachers, nobody had ever seen it. Nobody knew even what the bird was. And it was my unicorn. 2 years ago, we came back from Angola with bar-headed geese. Highest flying. Those birds fly over the Himalayas in their migrations. Highest flying migration in the world. Beautiful bird. Nobody even knew what it was. Stick to the fundamentals. You hunt all these different species in these different areas and different cultures and different travel criteria, different languages, rich and poor and just different. That's the story I want to tell. I want people to think ducks. You know, there was a book I read back when I was a big reader. It was Henry David Thoreau wrote a book about Walden Pond. It's kind of an interesting book because this was written back in the mid to late 1700s. He was a resident of Boston, Massachusetts. And when I think of the 1700s, what heck, the Wild West wasn't even explored. I mean, most of America wasn't inhabited then. It's just wild and free. You got to get past, if you read that book, you got to get past that old English language stuff, you know, these and thous and those kind of words. You got to just read past that. You know, but he was kind of fed up with the whole social and pressure and civilization. So he retreated out to this rural cabin out somewhere in Massachusetts and spent a year and wrote a book about it. But in that book, you know, it's interesting because a lot of hardcore environmentalists and preservationists and those types often quote him for their cause. If you've read the book, he talked about one of the patches about how a small bore rifle was one of the greatest conservation tools ever contrived. Because a child will go out and shoot stuff he's not really supposed to shoot. Think of many of us with a pellet gun when we were children shooting cardinals or something. We didn't know better. We just shot them. It's what we did with pellet guns, right?
That's right.
But because we touched them and we held them, we came to know them. And after we knew them, we came to love them and respect them. As we grew older, we didn't shoot them, but we knew and loved them. And if you put that in the context of duck hunting, know, it's hard to explain to an anti-hunter. And one of these podcasts in the future, we'll talk about some anti-hunting run-ins I've had. It was a very crisis type moment. It was very stressful, but I learned a lot. And hard to explain to them how we can go out and shoot or harvest a resource like waterfowl, but at the same time have an emotional attachment to it. So I hope, Rocky, I hope that in telling this story and taking viewers with Jake and I around the world, in the duck blinds of the world, I hope maybe we can raise a greater consciousness of waterfowl and of wetland habitats, of this thing we do, this hunting thing we do. And you know, it's not just, I said this one time, this whole Arkansas thing. People in Arkansas that are so opposed to the out-of-staters view it as their stuff, their battle, their struggle. It's not. It involves all of us. But it really doesn't involve just Mississippi and Arkansas or the United States. It's a global thing. You know, it's a global. This resource and this habitat and this conservation and this thing we do. It's not just an English-speaking American thing, although we are the best hunters in the world with the best equipment and the best tools and the best decoys and the best ammo. Man, there are many people around the world that are just as passionate as we are. We have a lot of followers that are Muslims and Middle Eastern, a lot of followers, sell hunts, people from that part of the world. They're avid duck hunters. They're very serious duck hunters. They love it. I was telling you about Spoonzilla. Got approached from a guy from Cairo, Egypt. Going to hunt with him next October. I've been looking for a good toehold into some good safe hunting over there, and I found it because he wanted a Spoonzilla. He reached out to me to see if I could help expedite or get a Mojo doesn't ship to Egypt. Could I help him? Absolutely. Fix him up with a retailer that, boom, shipped it over to Egypt. He's now got his decoy. And that's just, we just want to tell this story. And I'll say this too. But I hope, I feel like Ramsey Russell, quote, brand, unquote, the Get Ducks brand is organic. That wasn't purely intentional. It's just who I am, and it's how we grew organically. You know, if you look at our very modest Instagram followers and Instagram followers relative to a lot of big industry, you got to understand none of those were bought. None of those are fake. Purely organic. It just took time. It took time to just organically draw them in because those people see and get our quote story unquote in duck hunting. They get it. You know, I'm not just online saying, come buy my hunts. We're just telling the story of duck hunting. And having this web series is another more accurate platform for telling a true story of duck hunting. And that's what's important to me. Rocky, I'm 52 years old. If I were to die tomorrow, not, but if I were, I just really think there might be a greater purpose than a billion dead birds and happy clients. I believe in a divine purpose. I believe there's a path I've been put on. I just believe that, and I don't believe it's just helping people shoot a bunch of dead birds. I just don't believe that. I believe it's got to be a greater purpose than that.
I want to ask you this. Somewhere, a big follower of this podcast and a guy that shared the teaser that came out today for the Websonic series, one of the things he quoted, or one of the things that he said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said, what a great ambassador to represent duck hunting for all of us. He is, Mr. Ramsey Russell. Do you feel like that guy? Do you feel like that ambassador?
No. That was very honored. Somebody said that to me. Then that I just, you know, it's not intentional. I accept it because I believe in it, and I believe we should lead more people to it.
We're good friends, and I think you are. I think that you are a huge ambassador that represents what duck hunting is.
I'll accept it. You know, I'll accept it, and I'm glad to help people and lead them to it. It was a salvation of sorts, not in a religious sense, but in a spiritual sense. Duck hunting was a salvation for me. It was a truth. And I believe I can bring people and people get into it and represent it right, Rocky. You know,
Before you jump into that, hold on. What I'm saying though is, you hear so many people say, "Look, I didn't do all this to be that guy. I just put my nose to the grindstone and went to work, and that's how it turned out." And I think that is a perfect explanation of who you are. You don't think anything about it. You just do your job. You do your job well. And I think that goes for all of us in whatever we do.
I believe that, Rocky. One thing that we've talked about that's since we started this whole series, we all got a past. A lot of times we can't help the hands we're dealt. I don't believe in luck. Things happen. Sometimes you got to make your own luck. I don't like the hand you've been dealt. Shoot. Push them in and get dealt another hand. Make it happen. Keep move to another table, get another hand, so to speak. But you got to make it happen. You know, I can't change what I can't change. I can only play the hand I was dealt. That's what I try to do. And that's what I think everybody should do. And duck hunting is a very personal thing to me. It really, truly is. And look, I get bored in duck blind sometimes, but I don't. You know, it's where I want to be, whether I'm shooting ducks or not. And it's the people I want to be around, whether I'm shooting ducks or not, no matter what language they speak. It's been a very interesting thing. I like duck hunters, and so many duck hunters and hunters I meet, you know, I do connect with at a good level. And it's very humbling to me when people say that about being an ambassador or being available to help them or do things. It's a responsibility I think we all should take seriously. You know, I think we all have a chance. Everybody has opportunities to be an ambassador, to be a mentor, to be a teacher, to be important in somebody's life and lead them into this thing we do. And if it's not just duck hunting, it all goes back to the fundamentals of duck hunting, the fundamentals of life. Stick to the fundamentals and be the person, you know, that is willing to help and answer. And do things. I think it's incumbent upon us all. I really do. As hunters, as people, I think it's incumbent on us to be that person. And one thing I hope to accomplish this story, and Jake, I think, shares this view with me, because we talk a lot about it, is we've had some interest in sponsorships of types. We're going to solicit interest. We're going to follow up with this because it's very expensive to put together quality productions. Very expensive. And this is all coming out of my pocket because, Rocky, get back. I'm 52 years old, and if I die today, I don't want my head zoned to read Here Lies Ramsey Russell, A Billion Dead Ducks and Happy Hunters. And I don't want to read Here Lies Ramsey Russell, That Spoonzilla Guy, which it could happen the last week. I'd like it to be a greater purpose than that. And I'd like to you know, a legacy. You know, when you're at a funeral, they don't talk about how much money a guy's got. They don't talk about any of that kind of stuff. His legacy, who he is how his friends and his family remembers him. That's all a man is. And I want to be remembered as having contributed maybe something greater to duck hunting, to waterfowling, or more importantly, to the people involved with it. And I hope that my story might influence people, that it might inspire people to understand that life's short. Do it. And I say get ducks, I said do it. Whatever it is, don't put it off till tomorrow. It may not come. It may not happen. Life is full of curveballs. Go do it. You know, if you don't like a hand you've been dealt, make it better. Don't wait on luck. Step out and make it happen. Hey, if you're big and overweight and out of shape, start with one step in the right direction. Go do it. Don't like a job? Find another one. Make it happen. You know, you got to do it. We owe it to our kids. We owe it to ourselves. None of us were just put here just to coast along. There's a greater purpose in it. And somehow or another, I ended up down the path of this duck hunting thing. And I see the same TV shows. I see everything that everybody says. The same other stuff everybody watches online and on TV and on DVDs and everything else. And I have TiVo. I TiVo my favorite shows for a reason, because I don't want to be subject commercialization. Fast forward through the commercials, click, 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 click. Some of them big shows, we got hit about 8 times, hit back over to the next thing. You know, I watch Gladiator, that's about 8 or 9 commercials I got to skip through on TiVo. Nobody wants to watch that stuff. We don't need that. You know, we don't want it. And I'm hungry. My vision is to tell a pure story of duck hunting. If I'm wearing something, if I'm shooting something, if I'm using something, it's because I believe in it. You know, I'm not looking for NASCAR endorsements. You know, the people we're going to partner with are going to get it. And they're not going to want to corrupt a true story.
But what I want people to understand is you just didn't
and this is for a lot of the younger generation that dream big. And that, there's nothing wrong with dreaming big. But behind big dreams comes big lots of work to achieve it.
Dang right.
Nobody opened the doors for you in Argentina. Nobody opened the doors in Australia, Pakistan, Sweden. You kicked them down. And if you go back to that story, when you were working for the federal government, and Get Ducks was a dream. You're working a job and putting this dream together and putting a lot of work into it. There's a lot of nights you didn't go to bed after you got up from regular job.
Yep.
And, man, if you can take one thing away from Ramsey Russell and his story, dream big, but work hard. You dream big,
work hard, and dream big and work hard, and take it one step at a time, one day at a time. My wife and I had this talk one time. Everybody's trying to get to the top of the mountain. Maybe they're in the top. I was going to Mongolia a few years ago. We detoured through China. That's an episode in and of itself. Let me tell you what, everybody wants to be Ramsey Russell until they're me going through China with firearms. That was a nightmare. But we ended up, and part of the thing I want to do, I always want to see the wall of China. I always want to climb it. Heck, man, you see that thing from Google Earth. It's a massive structure. The astronauts could see it from the moon. Okay, when they were orbiting the Earth, they could look down and see the wall of China. Pretty impressive. Built by hand. Took hundreds of years. It was built to keep the Mongolians out. The most fierce warring nation in the world at the time. So it just kind of put it in context. It'd be a cool thing to see. I looked at a lot of pictures of the wall of China before I went, and it looked like just a lot of smooth sidewalk. Let me tell you what the wall of China is. It's stairs. Up and down stairs. Steps. It's millions upon millions. It's 1,300 miles of stairs. Stone stairs. Not stairs that are however tall a stair is in your apartment building or your office. I'm talking about built by hand. One step, 6 inches. The next step's 3 foot. And all steps in between. Just stone, uneven stairs. And I didn't know that till I showed up there. And I looked up. I'm going to say about a half mile to this little tower. And I said, oh, my goodness. I wouldn't expect. I thought we were going to walk. I didn't know we were going to climb. And I said, well, how far are we going, Mary? Mary Wang was her name. She goes, we're going to the top. I looked up there about, I don't know, quarter mile, half mile, straight up. I figured that was the top. Well, from that guard station, there were 7 more between there and the top. Every guard station we got to, we stopped, drank a little water, looked at the view, kept climbing, kept climbing, kept climbing, kept climbing, kept climbing. And my wife and I talked about getting to the top one day. We realized, what's the top? And what is the top? There ain't no top. You climb, step at a time. Just keep going. Take a step at a time. There is no top, it's the side of the mountain, it's the climb itself, it's those stairs together. It's looking for the top and progressing towards the top, but there is no top. Just keep going. And that's what it is to me. That's what it's about. I don't have it all figured out, Rocky. I wish I did, but I don't. I take it a step at a time. Right now, my step is this story. Life short, Get Ducks, and I don't know. I don't know. I'll tell you this, Rocky. I've been sitting on that trailer for about 2 months. I showed it to some people, some beta testers, some close friends and associates. I showed it to them. I shared it with them. What do you think? I told the story on your podcast. It was one thing sitting in my recliner at home, right on the front porch, and talking. Something else entirely different, Jake filming it. And when I saw it, I felt good about it, but it was real hard to pull the trigger and share it with the world. Personal. And it might make people uncomfortable. A lot of people look at Ramsey, man, he hunts all over the world and does all this stuff, and they don't They don't know the person. They don't know I'm just a regular guy. It's a regular guy, Rocky. You know, I duck hunt. I work with a lot of duck hunters, true, but I'm just a regular guy. I'm human. Life ain't easy sometimes. You just get up, you take a step at a time in some direction, upwards. Keep going. But it was hard for me to share that. It was very hard for me to share that. And I actually, I remember my wife had a dog one time. She had a little Dachshund when we got married. She got it when she was in college. Man, that little Dachshund, we weren't best friends. I'm going to tell you, he didn't really like me. I didn't spoil him like she did. I didn't really like him because he just, you know, he didn't fetch ducks. He just won that dog. Huckleberry was his big old red Dachshund. And little did I know when I got married, that dog was going to live to be 18 years old. He's old as a dinosaur. 18 years old, this little Dachshund lived to be. And he got so old, he began to really, you know, he lost his eyesight, he lost his health. He was uncomfortable. And when it came time to put the dog down, I knew my wife was really, really struggling with it. Truth of the matter is, I was too, because they grow on you after 18 years. You know, we done long since buried our hatchet. And he was part of family. And we had to put a date. We had to put it on a date. That's the only way she could get her mind wrapped around it was just to mark a date out in the future. And on this date. And then as that date got closer, she could get her mind around putting little old Huckleberry down. And that's what I had to do to put this trailer out. Jake kept saying, when you going to do it? When you going to do it? What are we going to do? You know, I mean, it was done. Heck, we got that. We got some other little support pieces. We got the main feature done. That's the easy part. It was this part I was struggling with. Because it's personal.
Well, just as a side note to everybody that's listening to this, I think that when this first episode comes out and is released, I think the whole Get Duck world, Get Duck's world is going to grow exponentially. Randy's more conservative on than I am in this whole thought process, but I think it's fixing to explode.
We'll sure see. We'll see what happens. Take it a day at a time, a step at a time. But you know, the only way I could do it was just to put it in the future. And so I loaded it on Facebook and scheduled it. And I decided what better time to schedule it than Thanksgiving. Because tomorrow, I'm not a traditional turkey and dressing guy. My family is. They'll eat plenty. Myself and several other families, our family and several other families are together at Willow Break. Tomorrow we'll hunt, scout, and have a big dinner tomorrow night. It'll be all kinds of food. But, you know, it's the friends and the family and the thankfulness. And one thing this year has been for me, if nothing else, with podcasts and telling this story, it just made me especially cognizant having spoken the words of how truly thankful I am. How truly thankful I am to go out to the worst duck hole in the world, if that's what it takes. The worst dove field. How thankful I am just to be with people I love and care about, to care about me. And to have this thing, it's just, I hope that launching it around Thanksgiving, maybe, you know, people will see it and it'll make them thankful for their lives and what they've got and what they don't have, you know, but we'll see where it goes. Rocky, it's no telling where it'll go. You know, it may just be, I've told Jake this, Jake, you know, if it's just me, if it's just the telling of my story, I'm committed through a lot more episodes than we've done. I want to tell a story, my story. And now understand, when you see this episode, this is just the precursor to why Life Short Get Duck. It is not about the story. The story, it's not scripted. It's not going to be the same format. It's not going to be the same voice. It's not. The only constant is Ramsey somewhere involved. Argentina. Somebody else's story as a sub story to it. It's a whole other story to it. Sometimes the habitat and the people and the cultures and the birds will be the true stars of the show. I'm not a star. I'm just a voice. I'm just there. I'm pulling it together. know what I'm saying? Let somebody else be the star of the show. I don't care for that. That's not my calling in life. But I'm a storyteller, and I want to tell the story of the universal truth in duck hunting. And I think that's something that we can accomplish, Jake and I, very organically. This year we're scheduled. It's on the books. It's coming. We did. And I'll hit all the kind of the highlights. Because, you know, people think of GetDucks.com, he sells hunts international. Well, we got U.S. hunt list. We sell hunts domestic. And I'm also a duck hunter. I hunt public and private. I've got my own ducket list of ducks and, you know, bucket list duck hunts. I've got my own little list. And so this upcoming year, start in Australia. It was right there around the clock when, right there around the corner when Jake and I started working together. Then we went to Argentina. Next up, we're going to film Alaska, a sea duck hunt, public land, with friends, to go shoot one of the last 50 North American species I'm after. Then we're going to Nebraska and Wyoming. We're coming to Mississippi for a very personal story. Mr. Jim Cruz and I are going to hunt together one day, and then we're going to come to Willowbrake, and we've got a nice, interesting storyline for that. Then we're going to Mexico, and then we're going to Azerbaijan. Then we're going back to Argentina. Totally different take on Argentina than what we did last time. And then we'll see what comes next. We've got the whole world in front of us. I'd like to, by then, have things in place to go to South Africa. I'd like to go back to Australia. I'd like to take Jake to Egypt, hunt in the Valley of the Kings there on the Nile River Basin. I'd like to go to a lot of different places and show some really cool stuff we've done and seen around the world. That's the story I'd like to tell. So we're going to be throughout the United States and Canada. It'll be very, very personal because we will be hunting very similar habitats, very similar company, personal hunt, public land. But then we're also going to be hunting in some pretty far-flung places that a lot of duck hunters can't imagine, the species people can't imagine. I think it'll be a very interesting story that unfolds series by series as we progress along.
I think it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to the first episode. The reason why I say that is I've heard the story through the podcast, and I want to see your face as you tell the story. And I think that's going to be hard hitting, and it's going to hit a lot of people really hard, right in the gut. Ramsey,
this first little trailer is going to run its course, and then we're coming up with then we're going to launch the Australia feature. It's going to be a very nice take on Australia. The people that have seen it are very, very proud of it. They like the way Australia is represented. The organizations over there are very, very proud of the way hunting in their country is represented. We're very proud of the way we've told the story, the true story of duck hunting in Australia. Rocky, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate everything you do.
Hey, when's the release on that one, the first episode, going to be?
Probably about 3 weeks. Probably the first week of December. It'll probably be the first week of December. And it's going to get real. Let me tell everybody listening, I'd really appreciate you sharing everything we do if you feel so compelled. But let me just say this, Rocky. You know, we've got some stuff coming in December, somewhere between December and January. We've got something coming down the road, a giveaway of sorts. When I say it's a humdinger, I promise you nobody's ever done it. Everybody is going to want to be watching us in social media when that thing comes out. It's going to probably be about a 15-day fuse on it. Maybe a month long. We hadn't decided that yet, but it's going to be a humdinger for one person at least, and possibly for two separate people. And I think it's going to really be something that's going to fire a lot of people up. You know, we are very, very thankful for the encouragement and for the support that we have received from your listeners, and from our social media audience, and from our many clients. many, many clients. We're very, very thankful for the enviable position they have put us in this industry. And we're fixing to give something back that I think is going to make some eyeballs pop when it happens. Y'all stay tuned. Please stay tuned.
Well, Ramsey, happy Thanksgiving to you. Hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great opener on Friday. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition. Happy Thanksgiving to you. From the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.